Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's steadfast, faithful very own critic. We appreciate him. He joins us weekly. The films Searching for Mr. Rugoff, John and the Hole, and The Swarm. All right, I've got comments about Mr. Rugoff, but I'm sure you'll tell us all about it.
I will tell everybody all about it. I'll tell the world.
Good.
Our first film today, we'll start off talking about this documentary, and then we'll start to go into much stranger territory with our next two films. But Searching for Mr. Rugoff is a documentary about a guy whose name was Donald S. Rugoff. And to people who are really into movies, that will be perhaps a familiar name. Because way back, around the 70s and 80s, he ran a group of movie theaters in New York City. That's how he got got into the movie business. He was a movie theater owner, and then eventually he got into movie distribution. A lot of people don't realize this, but distribution is hugely important in the whole realm of cinema. Of course, there's the making the movies, that's production, and of course there's the showing the movies, that's exhibition. But there's also the getting the movies from the people who make them to the people who show them, and that's distribution. And it's hugely important, because if your movie doesn't get distributed, you're not going to be able to be seen by anybody. So anyway, Donald S. Rugoff started off owning a bunch of movie theaters in New York, and then moved into distribution. And he was really, really, really influential in both areas. In the exhibition area, he took meticulous care of his theaters. They would have special displays set up for, you know, themed to whatever the movie was about. And he would go to his theaters and become furious if he saw a candy wrapper on the floor, that kind of thing. Really was very meticulous and took great care of them, and they were beautifully designed and beautifully maintained. As a distributor, he was far more important, because that's where his influence went all across the United States. He was really interested in distributing what are now called art films. Well, I guess they were called that too. Movies often from overseas, movies that didn't necessarily have huge audiences waiting for them, that didn't have, you know, gigantic publicity campaigns from the big Hollywood studios behind them, but that he felt were worthwhile. And he would put those in his theaters, and it would launch them, it would get them really well known, and it really just had a huge influence. So that's who he was. Now, he was also, from all accounts, an extremely difficult and eccentric and even strange personality. He would hire people almost on a whim. He would fire people almost on a whim. He was really well known for falling asleep during the screenings of movies, which he would then say, oh, that's a good movie. Let's show that. Let's distribute that. Let's get that on the screen. That kind of thing. And that turned out to be apparently a result of medications he was taking for a condition that he had. And he had a complicated life and a very, very, very complicated personality. So the movie about him, Searching for Mr. Rugoff, is going to appeal mainly to people who really care a lot about movies, and especially about the business of movies. But anybody interested in the great, widely distributed art films and documentaries — he also played a big part in getting documentaries into theaters, which didn't happen very often in those days, still doesn't happen nearly often enough — people who are interested in that sort of thing will be fascinated by this movie. Other people, I think, will just have a good time learning about this eccentric guy and his very eccentric personality. Now, the movie was made, and this is full disclosure, by a friend of mine, a guy named Ira Deutschman, who also teaches at Columbia University, where I used to teach, and who has himself been very much in movie distribution and movie marketing over the years. And he's a real expert in these areas. And he started his career basically as a low-level employee for Donald S. Rugoff, and then worked up the chain and became an extremely important figure in the movie world himself. But he started off working for Rugoff, and he was startled to discover at one point in recent recent years, that Rogoff sort of died in obscurity. He lost his company in what was basically, I guess, a hostile takeover bid, and ended up moving to Martha's Vineyard off the coast of Massachusetts, and died basically in obscurity, running a little film society in what had an old building that had been a church before he came along. And so Ira Deutschman decided to find out what the real story was, and the movie alternates between Ira talking to all sorts of people who were involved with Rogoff. There's a lot of people I know in this movie, a lot of people involved in the New York movie world in various ways, and also Ira himself appears on camera sharing his own memories. It alternates between that sort of thing and a lot of movie clips as well, and Ira's trip to Martha's Vineyard off the coast of Massachusetts to see if he can find out what eventually happened to Rogoff, see if he can even find Rogoff's grave, which has sort of been lost in obscurity. Nobody seems to know where it is, and Ira has to do research about that. It's a very lively movie. I found it a very interesting movie. Again, people who care about the movies, and especially about the movies over the past few decades, will be just fascinated by the film. And I think for anybody, it's just a very entertaining movie, a very likable movie about an eccentric character with an eccentric personality who had a lot of influence on what movies got shown and what movies got talked about back in the 20th century, especially in the area of art films and, you know, the movies that are not the big Hollywood studio tentpoles, that kind of thing. So it's a very interesting movie, full of little gems of information about the distribution of films and the showing of films. And I just had a really good time watching it, quite apart from the fact that it involves some people I know. So I really do recommend Searching for Mr. Rogoff. It's well worth searching out. Now we get into the really strange stuff of today's program, because got a couple of what are basically horror movies here. They are very different from each other, and I think that they're both pretty good. But that's where we are again. And I seem to always be saying this, Jill. I know you're not really into horror movies, but this week we got one we got to talk about. But this has been just a really fertile couple of years for horror movies. A lot of people are making them. And again, I don't think it's because of the pandemic, because it takes a long time to get movies in the pipeline and actually made and on the screen. So a lot of these movies were being made before the pandemic really hit. But maybe it does say something about the atmosphere of the times we live in. In any case, these are both interesting horror movies. And the first one has what I nominate for perhaps the least catchy title of this year so far, John and the Hole. That's H-O-L-E. And it is, in fact, about a boy named John, and it is about a sort of a hole. This movie was directed by Pascual Sisto. It's an American movie, although Sisto was born in Spain. This is his first feature film. And it is about a boy named John, who's around 12 years old. And this is not going to be a spoiler, because it's what happens in the very early part of the movie. He is walking in the woods. We first find out that his family is probably a very typical modern family. He's got a mother and a father and a couple of siblings, and they sit around the dinner table or the breakfast table, and they don't really talk to each other, and they're all looking at their screens. And we get the idea that this is perhaps a typical family, but perhaps not a really, really happy and contented family. They're just sort of going through the motions. John, one day, early in the film, is sort of walking around in the woods, and he comes upon, it's not really a hole, it's a bunker. It's like a big concrete basement that somebody was building for some structure, and then they ran out of money and they never finished the structure. So you have this great big concrete, basically, hole in the ground. And John is captivated by this. That is, he thinks it's very, very interesting. There's this hole here. Now, we already know that he's a slightly unusual kid, and then he does something that's really unusual. And again, this is very early in the film. He drugs his family, his mother and his father and his siblings, and drags them off and puts them into this big concrete bunker. And when they wake up, there they are, down at the bottom of this big concrete hole. They don't know how they got there. They don't know, above all, how they can possibly get out, because there really is no way to get out. It's not like a hole that you dig with a shovel where maybe you could clamber up the, you know, stick your fingers into the dirt and pull yourself up. This is a concrete thing, and it has very smooth walls, and there they are. So John takes care of them after a fashion. He throws them down some food. He throws them down some stuff to eat. He has some stuff to drink. He throws them down a little bit of blanket every once in a while because it gets cold down there. But mainly, they just have to stay in there pleading with him to please let them out. And that's what the movie's about. As I said, this is a horror film. So it's a horror film with a very unconventional story. I've seen other movies that sort of go in this sort of general direction, but none quite like this. Now, I was wondering if this movie was maybe too bizarre for it to ever sort of enter the mainstream at all. And maybe I'd be the only, I like horror movies, and maybe I'd be the only person who thought this was interesting. But, you know, John and the Hole has gotten really, really good reviews from most of the critics who have written about it or talked about it, including a lot of really smart critics, a lot of very mainstream critics. So it really is a mainstream film. You know, despite its peculiarities and its great darkness, I certainly won't tell you how it comes out. The acting is really good. First of all, John, played by Charlie Shotwell. What a terrific performance. He plays a disturbed, strange, odd kid who's also sort of likable in a strange sort of way. Then the best known person probably in the movie is Michael C. Hall. And I really like Michael C. Hall. He's never been a favorite of mine, but he's done such excellent work. First of all, he was one of the stars of my all-time favorite TV series, or at least modern TV series, 6 Feet Under. Which I think is a sensational thing, and in which he does a wonderful acting job. And then, of course, he went from that to play Dexter in that very excellent series, which, by the way, is coming back later this year with a new season. So Michael C. Hall of 6 Feet Under and Dexter and other places. He showed up briefly in The Crown, for example, done a lot of TV work. He's really good as the father of this family. And the other members of the family, played by Tessa Farmiga and Jennifer Ailey, and, well, there's a lot of good people in the movie, most of them in secondary roles. Charlie Shotwell and the family members have the big parts. So it's a very interesting movie, a very intriguing movie, a very offbeat movie. In a way, it's a very sort of a disturbing movie, but I really did find it engrossing. Really interesting piece of work, different from anything else out there. So if you're interested in horror movies, even a little bit, I would say check out John and the Hole. The title isn't catchy, but I found the movie oddly memorable. And our final movie for today, Jill, is called The Swarm, and this is a French film directed by Juste Philippot. The French title is La Nuée, and it is, in fact, about a swarm, and the swarm is of locusts. Yes, sir, but this is not a biblical film. This is a very modern film, and the central character is a woman named Virginie, played by a Comédie Française actress, Suliane Brami, and she is a single mother, and she is eking out a living. Well, not eking out, but she is, you know, living a pretty, it's a pretty hard job that she has, running basically a locust farm. She breeds locusts that are then going to be made into various kinds of food and meal and stuff like that. It's not necessarily for people who don't want to think of themselves as eating locusts, but locusts really do have a lot of uses in modern agriculture and so forth, and that's what she does. She breeds locusts, and for some reason, the locusts just aren't keeping up their end of the bargain these days. She has them these big enclosures outside, and they just haven't been thriving. They haven't been doing really well. Then she makes, again, this is not a spoiler, it's very early in the movie, she makes an unexpected discovery that they like blood. Yes, I mentioned this is a horror movie. So the next thing you know, she's getting a hold of blood, mostly out of her own arm, stuff like that, to feed the locusts. And they really like the locusts, and they really start to thrive, and they really start to do well. So she is doing this. She is raising her locusts. She is trying to keep the farm going. She is feeding them now with somewhat her own blood, and at the same time looking after her two kids, who are fairly young and have themselves their own sort of interesting relationship with each other and their own sort of complicated relationship with her. There is also a young man named Karim, played by Sophie Nkamas, an excellent performance, who comes by and helps her out and is her good friend. And she's trying to keep a secret from Karim, just exactly what's going on here. She doesn't want the world to know that she started feeding the locusts with her blood. And he's a little bit puzzled by some of the things that he encounters. But anyway, things go on from there. The movie turns out to have as much to do with the relationships among the three family members, that is Virginie and her two kids, and their friend Karim, as it does with the locusts themselves. But the locusts are always pretty much at the center of the story. And as you can well imagine, some pretty strange things happen along the way with these locusts, who are now perhaps thriving all too much and requiring more and more blood to be filled. This is an old sort of horror movie trope. I mean, I guess that the great golden age, if there ever was one, of sort of animal horror movies was maybe, or sort of monster animal horror movies, started maybe back in the 1950s, when there were movies like Tarantula, about a giant spider, and Them, about giant ants, which were usually caused by atomic radiation back in the early days of the atomic age and all the paranoia about that, or scientific experiments of some kind gone horribly wrong. And there's just been so many movies about so many different kinds of animals who become villains. There was even a movie in the early 70s with Ray Milland called Frogs, where somehow frogs were the monsters and they were going to kill you. Anyway, the swarm kind of is a modern iteration of that sort of creature feature, you might call it. But it's different from those. And again, the swarm itself is really that. It is a swarm. So it's not individualized monsters that we're dealing with here. It's more like sort of a monster movie about insects turned into almost a sort of a zombie in a movie in a way, because the insects have no personalities. They just want to come at you and get you after a while. But there's a lot of them, and that's what it's about. So The Swarm is a good horror movie. I wouldn't call it a great one, but it's very well done. Again, reviews for it have been very good, and I rather enjoyed watching it. In its own creepy, crawly way, it's pretty entertaining horror. And so that is my somewhat horrific, somewhat documentary story this week, Jill.
All I can say is thank you very much, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Searching for Mr. Rugoff, John in the Hole, and The Swarm.